Welcome back to Stitch Files, Barrett in America.
World headquarters, Archdale, North Kakalaki.
WHQ.
That's right. Where the everything that happens at Barrett and Worldwide is right here in this building.
Yeah. Good and bad.
Good and bad. Exactly.
So we're back.
Where have we been?
You've been more places than me.
I've been everywhere, man. I'm like Hank Snow.
What,
do you know what that means?
Yeah.
Okay. Some people probably don't.
Yeah. I was going to sing the song.
So, I mean, Sarah, I could say stuff like when Sarah was here, I would say stuff like that, and she would look at me like, what are you talking about? I just forget that it's generational.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee not many people know who Hank Snow is.
I do.
Johnny Cash sang that song,
too. I know. That's why.
I've been everywhere, man. Yeah. The U.S. Postal Service uses it on their commercial. Yeah. You seen that commercial?
I've heard it.
It's good. I like that song.
Yeah, it's funny. Generational stuff. Like, you realize I'm at the age now where I feel like everybody I talk to is younger than me, like most people that I interact with.
Yeah, it's... Yes.
I know. No, they are for you.
No, they are. I mean, I look at... When you get in your 60s, the way that I feel, I don't feel, well, I don't know what it's supposed to feel like.
Yeah, you never.
Other than my aches and pains. But you think that everybody is like the same. You look around and like there's more people younger than you than older than you.
Because they're dead.
Because they're dead.
Yeah.
No, I mean, think about it. I was talking about this with Mrs. Kim, your mother.
Mrs. Kim?
Raquel Welch died.
Yes.
Yeah, and she was a, I was going to say sex bomb. That doesn't sound right, does it?
I dropped a sex bomb in this room earlier.
She was a sex symbol when I was a kid, man. Man, she was gorgeous. Man, she was so pretty.
Yeah. You used to be pretty sexy, too. Now you're just like garbage.
Yeah. You lose your sexiness as you get older.
You used to be a sex bomb.
And I used to be a sex bomb. I was. This sex bomb went everywhere.
It's been everywhere, man.
What was I thinking? Sex bomb. Oh, a bombshell.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, a bombshell. Which I don't... That stuff's not PC anymore to say.
No, you can't say that stuff. Probably should.
Definitely can't say sex bomb.
Not sex bomb.
You think if you're getting on an airplane, you're like, this man has a sex bomb. I'm like, shut it down.
Yeah. Well,
we'll reroute the plane.
It's not the sex part that we object to. It's that last word, that four-letter word, bomb. Starts with a B and ends with a B.
Yeah.
So.
What were you getting at with her, though? Oh, that she's dead? She used to be pretty?
Yeah, man. She was, I mean, it's like, look at the rock stars that have died. Jeff Beck. Oh, man. Were you a Jeff Beck fan?
You asked me this the other day, and A little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy about him.
Well, he had a different way of playing. Yeah. You definitely knew who it was when he started playing.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But he was an influence on me not to play.
I have a lot of those.
Once I heard him, I'm like, I just might as well sell my guitars because I can't sound like this dude.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember that band, that Polyphia band I played? We went to go get sushi. And they're like, it's almost like Latin. It's a lot of flamenco, but it's acoustic, but it's almost metal. Man, that stuff, that'll discourage you from picking up a guitar.
I get discouraged every time I pick up my guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been trying to play more blues lately. I don't know why. I've just kind of gotten into it.
What's something you can do when you don't have friends to play with?
Exactly. Or when they abandon you or flake out on you. So, yeah, my little project went kaput.
As most do.
I know. I don't even why I try. I'm not trying anymore. You told me. You warned me.
Yeah, I did.
So I didn't listen. Anyway.
Yeah. We digress.
Enough
anyway,
of
this, we've
man,
been.
We got, that's a tangent.
We've been a lot of places, taking machines to customers.
We've been.
You've been traveling.
How many states we've been to?
I've only been to. I mean, I've been to a lot. Been the last month. We went from North Carolina all the way down to Florida.
I was in Connecticut.
And Virginia. We went up.
We went to Virginia. Kentucky, Tennessee.
I've been everywhere, man.
Yeah. We're getting ready to go to, we'll be going through how many states?
I don't know. You go
Virginia. Maryland.
West Virginia.
Mm-mm. Yes. No. Yeah. No, we don't.
We do bypass that, don't we?
Yeah, we don't go up 81. Yeah. We go up 95.
Anyway, to the trade show you're speaking of.
Yeah, we got
which
a trade
show.
Which
is March 23rd through 25th.
That is a Thursday through Friday show.
Thursday through Saturday.
What did I say?
Thursday through Friday. It's a
that's
one-day show.
I like.
Yeah. We are booth 219.
Yes.
Pretty sure.
Yes, we will have a narrow field six head. The CO1, which is right behind us, the trusty CO1. The XL is right behind us.
Behind me.
And we'll have a Pro 3 that
comes back here.
That'll come back here.
Yeah.
We haven't had a Pro 3 in, what, 6 months? Maybe longer?
Yeah, it's been a while.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting another Pro 3 in here. It's our most popular single head. Sorry to say singular head.
Singlet head.
And we sell a ton of them.
Yeah, so... Yeah, come to the show if you're not planning.
We have
if you haven't planned already, plan to come.
Can you put
the code?
The code on there on
yeah,
the screen.
I didn't know if that was free use.
Sure. For Baird customers.
I'll put it up.
Or Baird prospects. If you don't own a Baird and you're thinking about getting one, you can get into the show for free.
Yeah. I'll put the code in the podcast description, yeah. YouTube description. I'll put it on the Instagram too. So.
Yeah. It's EXIV.
You remember it?
30100 50. No, I don't know.
Yeah. It used to be Baird. That's what it was the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's kind of weird now. I don't know why it's changed. It used to be Baird with some numbers after, yeah. But it's not anymore. I don't know whatever. It's, yeah. It's there. And we provide it for you if you want to go.
Yep. We'll put it up. I'll put it up in the descriptions, all that stuff. We got to see the Chicken Man. That was fun.
We got to see the Chicken Man. We got to eat some delicious chicken.
Yeah, give your recap on that. I know Robert will listen to this, so.
What do you mean my recap?
Did you enjoy that chicken? Yeah.
Yeah. You had hyped it up so much.
Mm-mm.
I think it was good. I think you and I discussed this on the way home. You said, how do you like it? And I said, well, I like PDQ a lot.
Do you know what that stands for?
Perfectly delicious chicken. No, that's a Q.
I think it's people delivering quality or something like that. It's something weird. That has nothing to do with chicken.
Hmm.
Parts delivered quickly.
Yeah. Pretty damn
chicken
quick.
Parts.
Pretty damn quick was what.
Chicken parts delivered quickly.
Chicken. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. I wish they would have put one in High Point. We have a Popeyes now.
I went by that the other day. It looks cool.
Did you go in?
No. I was coming back from the movies.
You like Popeyes?
I guess.
Remember people were getting killed over their chicken sandwich?
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Somebody got shot in a drive-thru.
I thought it was stabbed, but...
Well, whatever.
It's that building just looks cool. White with the teal. It looks like retro.
Huey Magoos, who's sponsoring this show
today. Let's talk about Huey. Yeah, thanks.
No, the chicken was good.
But the fellowship was even better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to see. You hadn't met Steve Sutphin, had you?
I had not, no. Yeah, I know,
Steve's
I
a
met
good
Rob
guy.
Before.
I've known him for a long time. He's had Baird's forever. And then, of course, Elrod. Got to love him. He's a chicken connoisseur.
Mm-hmm.
He's my go-to guy when I want to talk about chicken or think about chicken or want to taste some chicken. And I'm in his general vicinity. I say, where do I go to get quality chicken?
They've got a really good operation going on down there.
They do. I'm proud of you, man. He got a really good business. SR2 in
yep.
Orlando, Florida.
SR2 Industries.
Yeah. Very nice. Bunch of Baird's in there. Got a lot going on. Very busy. He deserves it. He's done well.
Yep.
I may ask him for a job when I retire. Go to Florida.
That would be a good gig.
Work on an embroidery machine and eat chicken.
Yeah.
That'd be a good life.
He's got the Huey hookup.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Enough.
Of that.
Yeah. We're going to talk about field sizes of our machines.
That's something we get asked a lot
mm-hmm.
at shows.
Shows on the phone.
How big will it sew? We take it for granted. And I think the way that Baird does field sizes is pretty easy compared to some of our competitors.
It is. especially when you look at the hoops.
Exactly.
Interchangeable.
Exactly. And how important is field size? Well, in my opinion, it's probably the most important, other than what machine you're going to buy, which should be a Bairdon. But if it's not, you got to look at field size and what you're going to be sowing. And when we say field size, that's the size, that's the area that the machine will sow. And it differs on our machines. For example, the one, you know, behind Brandon's.
My noggin.
Right shoulder. Yes. I'm looking at
you. Yeah, it is. Okay. It is. I thought it was actually behind me.
Could be left shoulder from where I am. The XL2 has the smallest field size that we offer.
So 250 by 400.
Yeah.
And or 9 3/4 by 15 1/2.
15 1/2. And it's 15 1/2 wide by 9 3/4 deep. And we sell a lot of those machines, but the Pro 3 we sell the most of. Mm-hmm. And the biggest reason is the field size. It has a bigger field size. So why is field size important? Well, if it depends on what you're going to be sowing. Yep. You know, what your business model is, I guess. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm just going to do names and maybe a few tote bags, personalization, things like that.
It sounded like you said toad bag.
Toad bag. Well, call it your toad.
It could be a bag for your toad.
It could be. Yeah. You could put many toads in some of these bags. So, but your toad bag, if you want to tote your toad, your frog bag.
Frog bag.
I lost my train of thought. Now I'm thinking about frogs.
That's my fault.
Yeah.
You're saying it. Why you would pick the particular machine, like the XL.
For example, we have a couple companies that do nothing but personalization, and they just this is all they use is the XL, because that field size is
it's
big enough to do names and personalization. And if that's all you're going to do, really and truly, you can save
$2,500.
Yeah, I was trying to do the math in my head.
I did it for you.
And same sewing head, same operating system, pretty much the same everything with the exception of the chassis and the size and the mm-hmm. field size. It takes up a little less room, so if you're cramped for space in your shop, it doesn't take up a whole lot of room.
Yeah, but the Pro 3 doesn't either, really.
It doesn't. Yeah, if you can fit an XL, then there's no reason you can't fit a Pro 3. But It's a great little machine. Caps, it does, you know, the wraparound caps or the, you know, 14 1/2 inch sewing field on caps, the same as every other machine that we have. So it's plenty big enough to do probably 90% of what anybody does.
Yeah, honestly.
Now, if you're going to get into jacket backs or bigger applications, then obviously it's not big enough. So that's why we make the Pro 3, which again, as you know, I just stated, it's the our most popular machine. So there's something to be said. You know, the first machine I ever bought when the XL first came out, I'm trying to remember what year this was, 2002, 2003. It was a D series machine. Yes. Yes, it was a D series. It had a 250 by 250 sewing field.
Yeah.
Nine needle. The earliest ones were 250 by 250. So that was really small. You know, you didn't have much room this way or much room this way. So that was like less than 10 by 10.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we had it down in the den at our house.
The dungeon.
It worked well. I did a lot of caps on it, a lot of stuff on it, and it was a good little machine. I can't remember why I sold it.
I don't know why you did either.
But I did. I just got busy, didn't have time, so I sold it.
Which is what happened.
Yeah.
The second go round.
But I bought one of the first. That it was called a junior then.
Yeah.
Yeah. When if you have a junior, you have the 250 by 250 sewing field.
Which the name XL is a bit misleading.
It's a misnomer. That is the XL. That should be called the XL.
That should be the jumbo. The Pro's the XL. That's the junior.
The junior. It should be. And it was originally called the junior.
Japan, if you're listening.
No, we named
America, if you're listening.
Well, you know, the reason we called this the XL is because when the Junior first came out, it was 250 by 250.
Because that's bigger than the Junior.
So it was bigger than the Junior, so we called it an XL. So
could have just been an L?
Should have called it an XL Junior. Right?
Which is my shirt size.
Yeah. You still wear Grannels?
Yeah, I do.
You know what those are?
Yeah, I do. I wear Husky jeans and Grannels. You know, it's bad if your mom's shopping for you in the Husky
size. Husky
section,
size, yeah.
Which is my childhood.
Yeah. I wear 36 Husky.
I'm 12 years old. I wear a 38, 30.
I'm trying to get into a 36 Slim.
Oh. I call those, you know, people wear those shirts that are like really too tight. Those are muscle fit mediums. Like me and my friends always say, that guy's got that muscle fit medium on.
All my shirts are too tight in the gut.
Yeah.
Back to the task at hand.
Yeah, the pro three field size we didn't talk about. That's a 360 by 500.
Yeah, and that's
or 15 by 17.
We've
for
never
the American
had,
audience.
We've never had a field size that size. I mean the let's see the 1501, the predecessor to this machine was. It wasn't as deep. It was 17 by 13, I think. You've seen the oblong hoops.
I don't know that it was 17 though.
It may not have been. I can't remember. It seems like
was
a lifetime
ago. Was it 15 by 13?
It could have been 15 by 13.
I know what the hoop looks like and what the machine looks like. I don't know the field size off the top of my head.
Yeah, they were 300. What's the XL again? It's 250. Yeah,
250
they were, no,
by
they
400.
They were 330.
Were they 330 by 400?
I think they were 330 by 400. Man, I got to look that up. That's bugging me. I should know that, but I may haven't been around a 501 in forever.
Yeah, it's
and we sold a boatload of those machines. Oh, you know, we had your mother and I had a couple, so they were really, really good machines.
That's the two I remember.
Yeah. And that field size was fine. So when they came out with the Pro 3 as we know it now, you know, they came out with the 360 by 500, which is really big for mm-hmm. that size machine. I mean, it's going to do 99% of what LD Jack yeah. packs. I mean, I really and truly don't know why you would want to get a CO1 unless you just wanted, if you're going to do a lot of flat sewing. Mm-hmm. Or if you're sewing really big Carhartt jackets and that's your thing, like up north, the tabletop's going to give you a little bit more support.
Yeah.
But, and then, you know, when we go to the CO1 and up, the compact bridge machines that all have the, what we call a wide field, they're 450 by 520. Mm-hmm. And then we have a narrow field.
So 450 by 380.
We have narrow field 2, a narrow field 6, and a narrow field 8, mm-hmm. which is 450 by 380, and the depth stays the same, but they get narrower. So what is it? 14 half inches wide, 14 3/4.
Yeah, 14 3/4, 17.5 by 14 3/4, yes, 17.5 by 20 1/4.
Yeah, is what it goes to.
That's where your hoops will not be interchangeable anymore.
No, and the hoops pretty much stay the same, just as far as the hoops
clamps or whatever
factor wise go, but the clips mm-hmm. on the side change.
I call them wings. What's the
clips? They're called clips.
I feel like that's the clip.
That's the sewing arm. The little clips. There are clips on there that hold.
Yeah.
So when you're talking to customers about buying a machine and they're looking at the multi-heads, a lot of folks don't realize that we make a wide field, which for us, we didn't make a narrow field.
Right, that's the standard field size, essentially.
For the longest time. To us, we always made what we call a wide field. Now, I know our competitors, I know Tajima made wide and narrow and just about everything for the longest time, and we just never did. We never felt the need to. And it wasn't that Bairdon didn't make a narrow field. It's just that we never imported them to the U.S. We just didn't see the – there wasn't enough difference, I felt, in the price of the machine. I'm just like, well, then for $3,000 more, why even
– think about a narrow?
Think about a narrow. But
Some people don't have the footprint for it.
And that's used to be when if they couldn't fit a six wide, they could fit a four wide, which is about the same size as the six narrow.
It's just a couple inches. The six narrow is a couple inches longer, as is the eight narrow versus the six wide.
Yeah. But did I ever tell you the reason we started selling the six narrow?
Probably.
But you forgot.
Yeah.
Would you like me to refresh your memory?
Yeah.
What's that? Well, that's been about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe. If that, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I have no concept of time. That's another thing when you get older. It all runs together. Or
now for me.
Yeah. Or you're just forgetful. our Canadian office wanted a narrow field to compete with some of the other manufacturers in Canada. So we never, ever wanted to sell a narrow field six. I was completely against it. Always was against it. I mean, Japan would say, do you want to sell these? We'd be like, no, don't want them. We're fine. We're selling plenty of the wide field sixes. He was adamant about getting some narrow field sixes up there. So he talked us into ordering 10 units. He said, I can move these things like that because he was looking at price. Well, we ordered 10 units. I never told the guys in the States that they were here. They sat in the warehouse up there for 3 or 4 months. He never sold the first one.
Oh, really?
Never. And so Japan said, well, you guys got to do something about these machines. And Kevin and I talked about it. And I said, once we put those things out there and they get in the market.
It's going to be, so it's by accident.
Because it was by accident. It wasn't a plan. It wasn't something we had planned to do. They were all designated for Canada. And you know this, but listeners don't know that Canada sells out of our inventory. Because they're under the Baird in America umbrella. Our neighbors to the north, frozen tundra. So those machines sat in the warehouse and sold them for probably 4 months, a long time. And then, you know, Japan was like giving us grief, like, you guys got to get rid of these machines. And Canada couldn't sell them. They were selling the wide fields. And I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying, you know, it was kind of worth a shot if they could sell them and the customers up there could save a little bit of money. But that's the thing about it. You're not saving that much money.
Not really.
It's only $3,000 difference. Now, in Canada, it's a big difference with the exchange rate, but it's still only $3,000 difference U.S. So, I think they had put them on the stock list, and I threw them out there to the guys and said, and they said, well, when did we get these? Oh, I can sell these. And, man, they sold like that.
Yeah.
And we were out. And then I'm like, well, we got to start ordering these because people wanted them. We try to keep it as simple as we can with not a lot of models, not a lot of field sizes, not a lot of differences. I think that our lineup is really, really simple.
Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of it. Honestly, there's not a lot of decisions to be made.
Well, when you look at Tajima, they sell two models.
Yeah,
you know, they sell one that compares with ours, and they sell one that's less expensive. I think even SWF does too. They sell two different models. We don't. We pretty much what you see here is what you get. I mean, it's the same sewing head on every machine that you get, same operating system. The only thing that's going to change is the field size and how big a sewing area.
Yeah, and that's some people often ask that too. Like, okay, well, this narrow field, like, is it still the same as the wide? Like, is the electronics the same as the motor? I was like, yes, it's the same. What about cabs? It's like, it's the same. It's going to do the same. So maybe they have this mindset, if they're coming from a different manufacturer, that there's, I don't know, it's a cheaper option. Is it made cheaper? And it's not. It's the same.
No. I mean, the
shorten out.
The frame, the chassis is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's lighter, of course, because the machine is shorter. But the components that make the frame, like the supports and mm-hmm. the I-beams and everything, or not the I-beams, but the beams that the sewing head is attached to are the same.
Yeah.
Even the rails for the pantograph are all the same. The motors are the same. Everything's exactly the yeah. same. Nothing changes there. So, and I can understand how people might think, well, if it's a smaller machine, then it's going to be cheaper components.
Yeah, and they'll say the same thing about the XL too. Like, oh, that's the entry-level model. It's not. It's just a smaller field size.
No, we've got some really big customers that sew that XL. I've been sewing them for years. You know, because it's got the same sewing head, same operating system. All the sewing head parts are interchangeable with the CO1 right there. So,
yeah,
it's pretty much the same machine. It's just a smaller footprint. There is one exception. Well, I had another point I wanted to make before we moved on to that, but I wanted to talk about the KT2 head, which there is a difference there.
Yes.
Back to the the narrow field six. You know, we made a narrow field eight, mm-hmm. and then we made it before the wide field eight. And the reason we went to a wide field eight is we had customers telling us that asked us, man, we like to have an eight, we like to have eight heads, but we like the sewing field on the six. Mm-hmm. So we had the wide field eight long before the narrow six. And I just didn't know how many of those wide field eights we could sell. And we don't sell a ton of them. We don't.
No.
But do you sell many?
Mm-hmm. I have, yeah. It's the same with the sixes and the eights. Like, it is probably literally 50-50, the people that buy six wides and narrows and eights wides and narrows. I mean, I tend to tell people, like, you know, if you're getting a multi-head, probably lean towards the wide field. That way you have the field size if you do need it. Then your second machine could be a narrow field. That's kind of my thinking. But, yeah.
Don't you think most people use the narrows for caps?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people set them up for.
Or if it's a company that does nothing but left chest mm-hmm. and doesn't do anything yeah. any bigger, then that's perfectly
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, you have to qualify their purchase. Like, okay, what are you mainly doing? You know, and let them make their decision. But, you know, it's our job to educate them.
Well, if someone purchases a wide field six first and they're looking for their second six head, let's say, I always tell them, you know, to me, the perfect shop is going to be a wide six, a narrow six, and a single head, you know, probably a Pro 3.
Yep, that's what I say.
That's how I would do it. If money were no object and you've got the room, you've got the work to keep it going. Because you can throw all your caps on the narrow. Not that the wide field won't sew caps too, because they will. Mm-hmm. Just as there's no difference in the stitch quality. But
there's a lot of people that just buy that narrow and it's strictly a cap machine.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting the way that people think about sewing field and new people. I guess this is more geared toward new people too, because they don't know what they really need if they're new to the industry. Mm-hmm. And they look at price and they're like, well, yeah. this machine over here is $16,000. Pro 3 is $18,700. You know what? I can save a little bit of money. But again, you may have an idea what you want to sew. One thing that always concerned me when we had our embroidery business was if somebody walked into your shop and they wanted something sewn, say they wanted a jacket back or they wanted to do a bigger application, and if your machine wasn't big enough to do it, then you lost that business.
And they're probably not coming back
because if they find somebody to do that, in their mind they think, well, they got a tiny little machine, they're not going to be able to sew this.
Yep.
That's why I always, you know, buy more sewing field than you need. You may never use it.
Right.
But if somebody walks out or you can't.
You're not pigeonholing yourself.
If you can't provide them with the service they're asking for, then you've probably lost that customer forever.
Yeah.
Not always, but in their mind, because I think of it the way that I think of it too. If I go somewhere and say, well, can you do this? And they're like, no, I can't do that. But maybe they could have done something differently. And part of that too may be the sales process. But if somebody comes to you and they want a jacket back done, then you know. it's not that you can't do it Excel. Yeah. You would have to hoop it twice.
Yeah, split your design up.
And that's a pain. I know some of these small home machines, they have software that'll split the design up for them and make it easier. But in the commercial side of things, that's more difficult. It can be done, but you know why you want to mess around with having to unhoop it, hook it back up, have alignment marks on there, sewn into it where you've got everything lined up. I mean, it's easier with the laser light, but still, yet it's not 100% foolproof. You got to be really careful with it. But you know, back to the 8-head. That I had a point there. You know, we went. Folks wanted 8-heads because they didn't want to go to a 12.
Mm-hmm.
And a 12 is not going to have 520 right. nut spacing anyway. Well,
oh, yeah,
you can. And we did carry the 520 and 12 heads for a while. And that's the thing. It's some general rules really do apply that you think they don't, but they do. When somebody's buying a 12-head or a 15-head, they're not looking at the biggest sewing field. They're right. looking as many heads as they can to probably as many
items as possible.
Yeah. So we carried a 520 by 450 12-head for a long time. And that machine was really long.
Mm-hmm.
It was it longer than a 15-head? Because 15-heads were always 380. Because you can't make a 520 15-head. It would be 40 feet long.
It would have to be longer
than a 15. I think it was a little bit longer than a 15-head. I think. I may not be right about that. If anything, it was about the same length, about 27 feet, 26 and a half feet. And we just made that machine because Japan, that's what Japan was making, and we never thought anything about it. And Japan came to us and said, why do you guys want this 520 machine? And we're like, well, that's what we always ordered. And they said, well, we think you ought to go to the 380. And we're like, okay. And we had a couple customers complain about the 520 machine being too wide, being too long.
I could see the point. That's a.
So we started making. Now get a load of this. We started making the 520, we switched the 12-head down to a 380. And then what happened was a couple customers that we'd sold the 520 machine to were like, hey, how come you stopped making that machine? And that's what they wanted. And we're like, wait a minute, it wasn't 520, it was 450. 450 by 450, not 520. Wasn't it?
I think there was a 520 also, though.
There was a 520, but that's
there special. Is a 450 by 450.
That's what it was. It's a 450 because there's by 450. Three. That's what it
which,
was.
Which I don't know that.
I know it's confusing. It's very. I'm confused right now with it. But no, it was.
It's 450. There's a 450 by 450.
It was a 450 by 450. We just special ordered one for Canada.
Those Canadians.
Yeah, they got to have the bigger machine. But we went to a 380 by 450 12-head. We never brought 520s over here. That machine's humongous. But it seems like we sold one to somebody somewhere. Maybe not.
I don't know. It's still, you can still find it. It's still in the system.
It's in the book.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they'll make it. But I misspoke. It was, we were selling 450s by 450s, which was still a big machine. That was, and it was the same size as a 15-head 380 machine. So anyway,
that was a lot of numbers.
That's a lot of numbers, and probably nobody cares. But
I think it's interesting.
It is interesting. It's interesting how every company decides on what their field sizes are. I mean, if you look at every single manufacturer, and I go on their websites and see, you know, what they sell, field size, and all this. Everybody's a little. There's not one. You think there would be one standard. But there's not. There's, you know, Tajima, I think, was like 360 was theirs instead of 380. Was their narrow. And then
theirs is still now shorter.
Yeah.
Or narrower. Even the wide field is still narrower than our wide field.
They have a 360 and a 500 machine, I think.
I was thinking 500.
Yeah.
Which is what the pro is.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's big enough for most things.
Yeah.
So, but my thing back with the, I was talking about, we were talking about the 8-head. We had people asking for that 8-head in a wide field. We kept asking Japan to build it, kept asking them to build it, and they didn't really want to. And they finally came back and said, okay, we're going to build it. And they did. And we don't sell a lot of them, but we do sell a few of them. And you said you sold some of them.
Yeah.
Because we came out with the narrow field 8 first. Never sold a narrow 6 until, I say recently, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Maybe
in the grand scheme of Baird and Teresa.
Exactly. Now, in the UK, they sell a narrow field 4. Japan makes a narrow 4.
Yeah, I knew.
And
we're not doing that. Keep your fish and chips.
That's too many machines. Yeah,
keep your fish and chips and your narrow 4s.
But you got to think about in the UK and other places, they don't have, their buildings are small.
Very small.
They have here. And if they want a 4-head. But another point I was going to make when I got off the track was if somebody didn't have room for a 6-head wide, we'd sell them a 4-wide.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a fan of a 4-head.
Yeah.
For the simple reason, when you look at the cost per head, the 6 makes better sense.
Way more sense.
And it still does. It still
Which
does.
Is a conversation I probably have daily.
Yeah, exactly. People will call and say, I want a 4-head. And why do you want a 4? Well, you know, I want a multi-head. I'm like, have you thought about a 6? Well, I don't have room for a 6. Or the price is too much. No, it's not. When you look at the price of the 4-head versus a narrow or even a wide 6, it does not make sense to buy a 4.
It's a $3,000 difference between a 4 and a 6 narrow, and a $2,000 difference between a 6 narrow and a 6 wide.
It's ridiculous. And that's just the way that Baird prices them to us, Baird in Japan. And it just makes sense to me to buy the 6 for $6,000 more for a wide 6 versus a
$5,000 more.
So
if you need math done,
I do need math.
I'm your guy.
I've got a calculator on my phone, but my phone has been distracting me. I know it has.
My garage door was up.
You playing a game?
Ashley texted me. Will you put the garage door down?
You're playing Candy Crush, aren't you?
I've never played that. Solitaire is my jam.
Oh.
But no, these salespeople keep coming to the house and ringing the doorbell. The dogs are freaking.
I hate salespeople.
Me too. Who would have thought? I hate myself sometimes. No, so I was like trying to shut the garage door.
Salespeople, what are they trying to sell you?
I don't know. I'm not talking to
them. Because you're the first house in the...
It's very easy to just
you're the
pop
first,
in our
you're
driveway.
You're the first house in your development.
Yeah, have been.
And they're going to hit you first.
They hit me first. I hit back harder.
New room, new roof, new gutters.
I don't know. Shutters, they've come by windows. And Ashley's like, will you please shut the garage door? Said the dogs ran out of the house. I don't know. So
chasing
I was a little
the
distracted. I hope they ate
a few of them.
No, they're just doing their job. That's the way I look at it.
I know. I know. I'm nice to salespeople unless they're obnoxious. Then I will tell them, you may want to tone it down a little bit. I mean, I know we all got to sell stuff, but
tone it down.
When you get desperate to sell, it's not a good look.
I'm going to come home to a brand new set of Cutco knives. Remember Cutco?
I do. Do I remember that? Yes, I do.
That's the door-to-door knife, people.
Yeah.
Or a rainbow vacuum cleaner.
Hey, you remember your mother and I went to Raleigh this weekend to the camper show.
Raleigh,
North Carolina. And
you have a camper. Why are you going?
You want to look at another one.
You need to get a smaller one because when you retire, you're not going to be able to pull it with your station wagon.
I won't be able to drive my truck anymore.
No.
Yeah, we just wanted something to do. It was cold and raining, and we just wanted something to do. Anyway, you remember that? Cookware, I don't know if you remember or not. Kyle may have been too small. We still have this cookware. Remember they came to our house and did this demonstration?
And I remember the presentation.
I don't know what it's called.
She bought a potato, like a julienne thing or mandolin.
It was a, you turn a crank.
Yeah.
And it would cut.
But man, those taters were good.
They were delicious. Remember that guy came and cooked us a meal?
Yeah. I don't remember the company, but I remember that presentation and everything.
We went to the campers and we walked in there. We go around this corner, and now my phone's lighting up. Walked around the corner, and there was a guy there getting ready to do a demonstration in 15 minutes. And Kim said, look, it wasn't that guy, same guy.
But, there's the guy. Said,
they're getting ready to do a demonstration of this cookware, the same exact stuff. And we still have it. Man, that's been, that's been 25.
No, probably not that. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
You weren't driving.
Still don't. Anyway, I take an Uber everywhere.
We saw that, talking about salespeople. But we invited this guy into our home, mm-hmm. and he cooked a nice meal for us, which was really, they kind of got you. You're like, oh, man, I got to buy something. That cookware was expensive, even for 1995 or whenever it was.
It was earlier than that.
Wow. Anyway, they brought
I do. Back, I remember, I remember the potato thing more than anything.
She still uses some of it.
If it works.
It was all stainless steel. It has a name. Cook Chef. Chef Plus or something. I don't know what it's called. I would look it up.
Yeah, and you obviously don't use it.
No, I don't use it. But you know what? You can relate field size to pot size.
Mm-hmm. I just ordered a 10-inch skillet today. I was thinking about going with a 12-inch, and I was like, man, what am I making?
You should have got one. You should have got the 12.
No, because all I do is left chest and hats.
Are you a one-egg guy or two-egg guy?
I'm not an egg guy anymore.
Really? What happened?
They hurt my stomach.
Eggs? Jeez, man. That's straight from nature. Yeah. And the chicken's butt.
Also known
which
as nature.
Which is nature.
Yeah. No, I don't know. A lot of things have like... I mean, my stomach's not been great ever, honestly. I mean, since I was a kid, you know?
Oh, you and I suffer from the same...
Same ailment.
Ailment.
But eggs, like... I mean, it's just, I won't go into detail, but it's just rough on my stomach.
Oh, I can imagine. I can use my imagination.
Use your imagination.
Oh, I love eggs.
People at home.
You haven't eaten any of your brother's eggs?
Olive eats them daily. Ashley eats them. Olive cooks Ashley eggs.
I got to get, I have to have Olive cook me an
She's
egg.
Good. She's pretty good.
Does
However,
she fry them or scramble them?
Eat whatever you want them.
I don't like them scrambled.
No. Well, anyway, I say she can cook. They made pancakes like 2 weeks ago, and we got a brand new set of pans, and it like ruined this one pan. I don't know why.
You can't use it?
You can, just doesn't look great. So Ashley was raising a fuss this morning, so I just ordered a new skillet, and I was like, this will solve this problem.
Is it Teflon?
No, that's cast iron.
Oh.
But I don't know what it did. It screwed the pan up, like it burnt into the pan. And I wasn't there to see the cooking happen, so I don't have any critiques.
So you can't like scrape it down and reseason mm-hmm. it?
It's bad news.
That's sad. Mm-hmm. Cast iron usually is pretty.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to screw it up.
I have plenty of them. I don't know. Maybe it was just a bad pan.
Some bad iron. Not enough magnesium or zinc or whatever it is in it.
Yeah, I don't think they took it through the full curing process.
It's very important. Yeah. You got to have lard. I bet you didn't put lard in it.
Oh, dude, I put some lard in it.
You put lard in it?
I put lard in everything. Look at me.
No, you didn't. You use olive oil. That's the worst. It has
avocado.
A low flash point.
Avocado for that reason.
We use canola.
That's not good for you.
Yeah. But it doesn't burn and smoke.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not a cooker. No, I'm a good microwaver.
We don't even have a microwave.
Toaster ovener.
How about that?
All right. So you chose your pan based on
my needs.
Just like embroidery.
Correct.
Machine.
Yep.
Okay. Now, if you were going to buy a single head machine, what would you buy?
Pro 3.
Would you?
If I had the room for it,
mm-hmm.
CO1.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
I love it. Oh, back to field size. Let's talk about two head. One exception that we have. Japan, was it last? It was early last year when they introduced the KT2.
Man, I think it was actually the end of the year before that, because yeah. I think we got it.
We didn't.
Cleveland got it first, right?
They got it first.
I think it was the beginning to middle part of last year.
We brought it down here.
Yep.
Did we bring it from? Maybe it came from Atlantic City.
No, we had it here and took it to Atlantic City.
That's right.
Then it came back to us and then went back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Which I'm still bitter about.
Yeah. That, I like that machine too. Anyway, we make a KT2 two-head machine. That is a narrow field.
Not a 2-2 head, a 2-head. That would be
the chassis is about the same. It's 6 inches longer than this CO1.
Yep.
When people look at it, they think that we put two heads on this chassis, which we didn't. It's the chassis is built for the KT2. But it's 380 needle spacing, which has the and we have sold. I wasn't nuts about that machine.
I wasn't. I've said this time and time again.
Japan said, "Hey, what do you guys think about this?" And we're like, "Great." Who asked for it? So they just sent us one, and they said, "Well, how many you want?" We're like, "Well, no." Oh, well, we'll send you 4 or 5. And I told Kevin, I said, "We'll never sell that." But we've sold it. We sold every one that they've sent over.
I think. I might be wrong. I think there's been more KT2 heads sold than the standard 2 heads.
Well, yeah. This year?
Yeah.
Or last year?
Yeah, last year.
I got to look.
I kind of keep track of it in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm like.
Have you sold more KT?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, there's a huge price difference.
Yeah.
Now, we've just sold some KY2 heads with the large field size. We've sold 2 or 3 here lately just because we have them in stock for some reason.
That's another thing with the 4s and the 6s.
Yeah.
The only benefit, really, is you're probably going to get a 4 quicker than you get a 6. Not probably. You will.
You will, yeah. But back to the KT2. The electronics on the single head machines are KT electronics. And the difference is, the only difference really is, well, the driver boards are different because you don't have to have as large a driver board or electronics to drive the multi-head machines.
Right.
But the multi-head machines are KY. They're going to have the 10.4-inch touchscreen display, which is really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with the KT display, but it's 8.4 inches on it. It just the KY display has more stuff on the screen where you don't
fit more
like
stuff.
Turning the page in a book to find the next.
You fit more favorites on there and
exactly. Blah, blah, blah. But and the KT2 head was made to be a little less expensive than the KY2 head machine. Of course, it's got a smaller sewing field and it's got the KT electronics on it, which it's a little simpler machine electronically.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not going to say it's easier to work on, but there's just fewer moving parts on it as far as the trimmer mechanism and all that. So it's been a very, very good machine. It's kind of like two tiny CO1s put together is kind of how it is.
I guess that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
I do. I really like it.
We had one here. We fell in love with it. I didn't want to carry the thing, and we started selling it, and it kind of took off. It really did. We had one out at the Long Beach show, and it was sold before we took it out there. And
matter of fact, that's the most popular podcast that we have had.
Which one?
The KT2 head when we did that podcast.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Well, listen, this one will
blow it out of the water.
Yeah, this one will trump that one. So.
Being with it in, because I was there on that side of the booth in Atlantic City, and that's when I was like, man, this thing's sweet.
I don't think it broke a thread up
there. It did not.
I mean, it ran, and we were sewing that lion's head, that Billy Chestnut.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't we?
Not on it, no. We weren't. It was the samurai thing or whatever.
That's what it was. That's what it was. Because that lion's head
it's too big.
Wouldn't sew on that because it was a narrow field machine. But man, that machine was humming. I mean,
I think I've got the design up there on top of my desk.
That made a believer out of me. Not that I thought there was anything wrong with it. It wasn't that. It's just that, well, if I'm going to buy a two-head, but for the price point that machine comes in at, and if you don't need that big sewing field, that is a sweet little machine.
Yeah, and people are like, well, I'll just buy 2 Pro 3s. It's cheaper. Now it's not.
But really, it's not.
It's not.
Now and again, it's going to be a price thing. But back to the whole gist of this is, you know, if you're looking at a machine or you have a machine now, you know, one of the most important things you want to consider is the sowing field. You know, how big or how small, what you think you're going to do. I think that you're best to err on the side of getting one bigger than you need, and then your next machine, get one smaller. And that's why we make the large field and the small field. Or for us, large field would be the standard.
The standard,
field,
yeah.
Or the and the small field. I just when we were talking about, you know, what we're going to talk about on the podcast, you and I kept, you know, we get asked about field size all the time, and that's a good thing that, you know, people want to know how big an area they want to do.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. If I'm talking to a customer, I stress and stress and stress, you know, what are you going to be doing? And how many times have we had people say, oh, I don't need that big sowing field. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you'll never do a jacket. No, I'm never going to do a jacket. So if somebody comes and wants jackets, then you're going to turn it down. And look, I'm not telling you to do jackets. I wouldn't want to do jackets.
No, most people don't want to do it.
But if they're willing to pay me what I need, the price I need for the jacket, then yeah, I'll do it. It's not that I don't want to do a jacket. It's hard to make money doing jackets.
Yeah, you're taking up your that's a lot of time for a design to
it's
run.
It's a lot of stitches.
Taking up your machine.
Right. And you have to be paid for the time that machine's running. It could be 2, 3, 4, 5 hours.
Yeah.
Literally. You remember that big tractor trailer we had that we sold for that guy? That it took was it 6 hours?
It was 6 hours or like
we
five.
Sold it on, we sold it
5
on the,
hours, 45 minutes.
It was on the CO1.
Yeah.
That thing was huge. It looked good.
It did.
But man, it was nothing but fill stitches. And it wasn't digitized very well either. I mean, it looked good, but it just puckered a lot.
Yeah.
Because of the way that it sewed. But anyway, we're digressing again. So, anything you want to add to this?
Me?
No,
or
you.
Them?
You.
I don't think so.
But you know, if you're looking at a machine and you're thinking about Baird, and hopefully you are, you know, when you talk to your sales rep, just be cognizant that field size, and in my opinion, it's the most important thing, is field size. I would take a bigger field size over more needles.
Yeah.
I would. That's how important it is, because if you know, the thing is, you've got to sew stuff. And if you don't have a machine big enough to sew your stuff, then
you ain't sewing.
You ain't sewing your stuff.
Yeah, I try to. That's usually one of the things I ask is, okay, let's talk about field size and the difference between the machines. Because, I mean, it's automatic. It's like, it just comes out of my mouth. This is the Pro 3 Field Size XL thing up to the multi-heads. And it's simple. I mean, it's only, what, three different field sizes really to break down. Wide, narrow, 4, Pro 3, XL.
Well, when you get to the 12 and 15.
Yes, yeah.
They've got it. Well, it was 450, then it went to 380. But, you know, usually when somebody's buying a 12, they know
right.
What
yeah.
they want. You don't have to tell them.
They've been there, done that.
Yeah. Usually they're buying their second or third machine. So, on the XL, the only knock on that machine is field size.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And again, it's perfect for some people.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that a wrap?
I think that's a wrap. I'm getting a new laptop this evening, so I should be able to get it edited quick.
Really? Yeah, we missed last week just because I was gone.
Yeah, it's been hectic. So hang in there with us.
It's been so busy. Both of us have traveled and just haven't been able to get a podcast out there. And we love doing these things. So
we could do them on the road. That's what we should do. Just take this thing and.
We should do one in Atlantic City.
Did we last time?
Mm-mm. You did it at GPX, Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. In the hotel room.
Twice. One time we did it on the booth when Mr. Evans was there.
And we did Scott and John. Scott, John, yeah. Sean, remember? Because we had to cut Sean short.
Yeah, you didn't turn it on.
You gotta keep bringing it up, don't you?
No, we could.
Matter of fact, this one hasn't been on the whole time.
It would be nice to do one from the booth in Atlantic City.
It would. It's so hard to.
Yeah, I know.
All these are great ideas, but in reality,
We're so busy prepping for the, I mean, it's like, yeah, the show's set up. At the end of the day, it's a long day. I mean,
oh, yeah.
The show starts at 10, but we're there 8:30, 9 o'clock to prep for the day. We have to make sure the machines, you know, I don't want us to be hooping when customers are coming in at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, you need to be running.
I want, at 10 o'clock, I want to hit the start button on the machines. So we usually vacuum, put out more literature. We straighten up. We make sure the machines are ready to go. There's always some hooping to be done. Somebody always comes to talk to us. Another vendor.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I usually have a meeting with somebody before the show, and it's really hard to, I don't know, maybe we do it in a hotel room. Maybe, I don't know. We'll talk about it. It is tough, but I mean, we're driving. So
we could easily do that.
Yeah. In the hotel.
They're driving.
Podcast while we're driving?
Heck yeah.
Not too many bad words if I'm driving.
That's a fact. Yeah. That's a fact.
I wasn't too bad on the Florida trip, was I?
Not really.
Yeah, I was pretty calm.
Yeah.
I took some hallucinogenics before
I drove. That's definitely not a good idea.
No, it's not. And no. I didn't do that. That's a joke.
I was hopped up on beta blockers. I wonder, like, did you have a bad temper when you were younger?
I think I've mellowed a lot. No,
Dude. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I'm going to sip.
No.
Okay.
I'm your dad. Did I? When you were growing up?
I just answered the question. Oh. No, I don't think, I think you're worse now than you were.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're probably right.
Yeah. So what I was going to say is, I wonder if, because I had an extremely bad temper when I was younger.
You've mellowed a lot.
I know.
You truly have. But don't you think that age does it? Having kids does it.
I would think that.
Well, no, because I've gotten worse.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It just, I don't have patience for idiots. I don't. I see things when I drive.
Is it mainly driving?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how good a driver am I?
You're a good driver. Great driver.
You've ridden
a 10. You're a 10.
I don't tailgate. Mm-mm. I signal. I'm pretty careful, except for that guy about sideswiped us that snuck
that
up on us.
That was close.
That scared crap out of me. He came out of nowhere. I didn't see him until he was past us.
The deal is, he was definitely behind the trailer and then tried to just take off and pass.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have seen him. That's my story.
That really shook me up a little bit.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. What were you saying?
You're a great driver.
No, and other than that, but
my fear is, like, I feel like I'm pretty chill. Like, things don't really rile me up. I was extremely volatile.
You were.
So now as I age, am I going to turn into you times 10 is my thought. Yeah. Because I'll put a hole in some drywall, so it's going to happen. I'll tear a hole in this office.
No. I say my piece, and then I'm done.
I don't know.
No, I do. Okay. I do. You don't think so?
I've already answered it.
I don't go on and on and on about it. I get mad. I say whatever. And then I try to rationalize. Well, and sometimes I get mad and I'm like, well, that was stupid. Why did I get mad?
It's usually stupid.
Nine times out of 10, it's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Your brother, he never gets mad. I'm like,
I feel like he's a person, like, just all that bull's inside of him.
Yeah. He would probably.
No, don't
no,
say it.
I ain't gonna say that.
this is on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, I shouldn't say that. And he wouldn't do that. I know he gets mad because I've worked around him enough. He'll say a couple of choice words and mumble. He mumbles anyway. And then then he walks off. You know, he goes, and I know he's mad. I mean, we tore down a barn the past 3 or 4 months. He bought a barn in Lexington, and being Brandon and Kyle.
I haven't done much of it. Well, actually, I did a big chunk of it, honestly.
You did. You helped a lot. We had a lot done. Anyway, he wanted the wood out of the barn, and this barn was about to fall in. But anyway, we all went down there and helped him just about every Saturday for 3 or 4 months, or every other Saturday. But he got mad a couple times down there. He was getting mad. And he and I got in an argument about how to tear something down. You weren't there. We were like, and Kyle and I never fuss. You and I fuss.
Yeah.
Not fuss.
No.
But Kyle and I never fuss.
No, because I feel like he's the type of person that if you say something to him, he's just going to internalize it. He's not going to. Yeah. I'm not that person.
No, you're not. I'm not either. Yeah. You and I, you don't want to know this, but yeah, I mean, you don't want me to say this. You and I are a whole lot alike.
I agree. But I feel like you are at 100. I'm you at like probably 30 or 35%.
I used to have to get onto you a lot when you were a kid because you had a really bad temper.
I know. I remember. Do you remember
Chris Jones?
Well, there's been a number of times. Do you remember when I sat outside? I was so mad. I punched through all the slats on the railing outside the house. Do you remember this?
I remember that.
That's stupid. I would never do that now, but I could see you doing that now.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not going to hurt myself. First of all, I'm not strong enough to knock a slat out. That's a good thing.
Yeah. I was going Chuck Norris through the slats on the porch.
Yeah, I didn't tell you this. I was out. It's been about a month ago. I never get mad at your mom. I just don't. First of all, it's not worth it. Second of all, I don't hurt feelings. I'm just saying it. She's a good person. Kim's not the person you want to make mad. And plus, she'll fire back at you. I'm scared of her. I'm kind of scared of her. So this has nothing to do with embroidery. I'm going to tell this little story. I was working on my motorcycle. I was changing oil on my Softail, and I was out there messing around. And she comes out there, and you know where I keep my rolling toolbox?
Yeah.
And she was going to get something out of the closet. And the door was open, and she pulled on another drawer. And you know that toolbox tilted over?
Oh, that flipped over? Oh, man.
Dude, I was really ticked off. And I really got mad at her. And
you didn't hit her with a wrench, did you?
No. No, I didn't. It's socket. 2 millimeter. No. And I've never snapped at her like that. And then she was wanting to help me pick the tools up. And I said, just please, just leave. Just leave the garage. Just leave. And she didn't like that. We really got into it. And I apologized to her. I did. And I did. I said, look, you didn't deserve that. I'm sorry. You really didn't. And she said, yeah, I didn't know if I pulled that drawer. Because I had a drawer already out.
Yeah.
And I probably got that thing overstuffed.
Yeah,
but she started picking up tools. And I'm like, honey, you're
going to put them in the wrong spot.
No, I know where they are. She was trying to help, which made things worse. We haven't fussed like that. I mean, it didn't take us long to get over it, but
that's marriage.
I felt really bad about that. I really and truly, man, I thought about that.
As you should.
Yeah. She didn't deserve that. She didn't do it on purpose.
Nobody really does. Life's too short to get mad at folks.
No, but I'm still missing a couple sockets. They must have rolled under the workbench.
They probably did. God knows where they are.
Maybe I'll get a couple new sockets out of it.
Well, leave your marriage problems in the comments below and we'll sort through them.
Yeah. Has anybody ever turned over, has your wife or significant other ever turned over your toolbox full of tools? I got a lot of tools.
Is that brag? Are you bragging?
No, I'm not. Half of them, I don't know what they do because I got them from dad.
Yeah, I know. I have stuff of his. I'm like.
He's got a box of tools. I have no idea what they are. I don't know what they are. I'm not the dumbest person in the world. I know how to work on stuff. I fixed Kyle's brakes on his truck the other day, his back brakes. He didn't want me to do it. I'm like, dude, I've done this before. Let's work on it.
Yeah.
But I got these tools. I don't know what.
Somebody knows. Somebody, they have a purpose. Yeah. They're made. Yeah. He knows. Yeah. Well, anyway. So hopefully.
That was such a bad tangent.
No, it's fine, man. Well, we covered field sizes, so it's an important thing. Think about it before you order machines and talk to us. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, we can direct you. And the right, now we're not going to tell you, but we're going to give you options on what you could do about field size.
Yep.
But the reason we want to talk about this is we get asked all the time at the shows. They want to, especially with the single head machines. Well, what's the difference? And it's going to, the biggest thing is, you know, what are you going to be sawing? And a lot of the people don't know what they're going to be sawing.
99% of telephone calls I get in a day, it comes up at some point.
Yeah.
So it is important. So that's why we want to talk about it. So we did.
And we did, and we entertained you with some humor, maybe. Chicken. Talked about chicken.
Talked about chicken.
Talked about marriage. Talked about
throwing sockets at your significant other.
Yeah.
All right. We'll, I don't know when we'll get to the next one. Hopefully soon. This one will come out when it comes out, so enjoy it.
Yeah, we kept her next.
Yeah.
We may get. I want to get Phil Hooks on here and talk to Phil and maybe interview him.
I asked him.
Yeah, he'll do it. We just need to talk to him. But I think it's good you guys hear from you know, some of the other reps and what their philosophies are.
Instead of us rambling.
Yeah. I know you get tired of us, but.
All right. Well, go register for the show. I'll put the code in all the places you can get it.
Yeah, please, please come if you get a chance. If you're not buying anything, just stop by and see us.
Yeah.
Brandon will be there at this one. Everybody was missing him in Long Beach. You'll be at the next two shows.
Yeah, GPX.
I might take you to Fort Worth.
Nah, I'm good.
Well, if I tell you to go, you got to go.
No, no, I quit.
You get fired.
I quit.
Oh, okay.
Just fair kidding. Enough. I was supposed to go to the last one, and you canceled on me.
Yeah, I know. I may take it. It's
if you need the manpower, I'm happy to do
that's,
it.
That's I know it's taking out your territory, but
I have people that go to those. People that go to Long Beach.
I mean, you do. You do. Cause I know. Your territory's so big. You always have people. So we may. It's getting tougher to get these. The older I get, the harder it is to crawl around on my knees and set these machines up.
It is a pain. But so,
anyway, thank you guys for listening.
As always.
Hey, comment. Please leave a comment. Like. If you don't like it, if you think we're stupid.
Thanks for all the comments on the last video.
Yes.
I still stand by my Superman comment. So.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
We need to go. This has gone long enough, but you're so wrong.
All right. We'll see you guys on the next one. Be good to you. Everybody out there.
Be good to your spouse.
And learn how to merge. Namaste.